khais or boeletsa madume gompieno re tsere dikhang le mokhaka ibile le motswa se tlhabelo le katlatselelo a go o dirileng go ka tlase atla mo lefatshe bophara ebeng Dr. Imtiaz Suleiman motlhankedi khurutamaga wa setlamo se bidiwang Gift of the Givers Foundation. Now you are still talking to us about the relationship with government.
As part of international disaster response, it's very good to have relationship with government. It breaks diplomatic red tape. So my relationship with our government, what all the years again, before the ANC time, with the ANC time, with the changes in the presidents, made no difference to me. My aim is to get the job done. So whoever the government of the day, I work for them. And my relationship was with foreign affairs, which is now international relations. Because in most cases, disasters outside need intervention from foreign affairs. The advantage of that relationship is that it clears your ambassadors, your embassies of other parts of the world, and when you walk into a country, in most cases the door just opens up and you walk straight through because you have the government on your side.
So you travel on a diplomatic passport, isn't it?
Well, not a diplomatic passport, but government representatives sometimes travel with me as part of the mission. So, you know, and the embassy meets you, the ambassador meets you, and really, there are difficulties as in any disaster response, but by far and large, we have been well received everywhere in the world because our government has done everything possible to facilitate us. We sort of represent South Africa when we go across anywhere in the world.
So your general motto is to relieve physical distress, emotional distress, and to improve the lives of mankind. Now, disaster management or disaster response seems to be central to this process. But what are some of the other things that the organization does outside disaster management or disaster response?
We have 22 projects altogether. Mm-hmm. We started off as a disaster response agency. After that, we designed container clinics. We said, if we can build a hospital in containers and take it thousands of kilometers away, we can do container clinics. Because that time, Nkosazana Zuma, the now Home Minister, Affairs Minister, came up with this idea, remember, of primary healthcare. Primary healthcare in 94 became a big buzzword in the medical circles. So we said, to get
and it's going to become a big buzzword again now,
you know,
going forward in preparation for the NHI. In fact, it's central to the National Health Insurance also is going to be primary health care because there have been complaints and concerns that the South African medical system is more curative. And it can start to become primary health care and preventative base will do a lot to alleviate the problem that we have.
Exactly. So we designed a container clinic and we started putting it in rural areas in South Africa. We have 20 such clinics in the country. That was the second project. And there we partnered government again. Because we said, in terms of running, it's better to be run by government because as the protocols change, they can implement the protocols in the system. So it's easier for them just to manage the whole program, which we gave them. But in between, as one of our other projects, we supply medical facilities, we supply ultrasound machines, we give medicines, you know, that kind of stuff to hospitals. So a medical project is the third thing, is another project after clinics. There's a hospital called Sarah Fox in Cape Town where there's abandoned children, recuperating children that come from Red Cross and other hospitals, and we funded every month in terms of the food supplies. We renovated parts of the hospital, painted the whole hospital, put in beds, linen, supply was required on a monthly basis, and we want to expand that project. It's only 1.5 years old, so that's something else that we do. Then closer to home here, Soweto, the Adelaide Tambo School for the Physically Challenged, for the physically challenged children in Soweto. We've become a partner in that school, again helping refurbishing. We made arrangements for Lotto to put a major swimming pool in the school itself. Then the special kind of equipment for those kind of kids to play with, we put that in. We're looking at putting extra classrooms and extra structures. We've already given the plans in. It takes a long time for the plans to come out. Special type of playgrounds. For the last 2 years, the special Paralympic sports where these kids are involved in, they went to PE, we funded the whole event. Those are the kind of things that we do. Then another thing related to physically challenged people is wheelchair distribution. We do that in a big way also. So like this, there's many other projects. We design a special nutrition supplement, you know, which we use also for people in different types of conditions. We designed that.
Then let's look at it. We got samples here. So is this the Busiso product that you're talking about?
There's a history behind this product. In 2002, we were at NASREC. You know, the World's Summit on Sustainable Development.
I see.
Whilst we were there, in September, there was a write-up in the front page of the Sunday Times to say that 167 children died out of starvation in the Eastern Cape. We were the only agency that responded and took in lots of food parcels. We then met the then Minister Zola Skibia of Social Development. He said, I love what you do, I love what you're doing and what you've done here. He came to me afterwards, he said, can you work with government and help us design a program how to spend 400 million rand. I said, fine. I put 9 points together, I gave him the program. A few months later, he came back to me. He said, I love the food parcel program. He said, can you run, design a food parcel program and run it? I said, not a problem. He said, but there's only one problem. You have to tender. Government rules are everybody has to tender. So I said, Minister, advice is free. I don't tender. I'm not a business. I'm an NGO. I will not tender. Time went on. It went on tenders. They called me five times. I refused all five times.
He said, you're not a tender premier.
No. Seven provinces were given tenders, yeah. And big companies in seven provinces got it.
Yeah.
February 2003, they came back to me. They said, please. I said, no. They called me a week later. They said, you have been appointed. For KZN and Eastern Cape, we went to Treasury, we went to Cabinet, we went to Parliament, we waived all tender rules. We appointed you, and we give you the two most complicated provinces in this country, Eastern Cape and KZN. You design a program, we give you 60 million rand, to do the food parcel and to roll it out. I said, Mr. Minister, money up front. I'm not a business, I'm an NGO. And they agreed. Give me an up front. This is how this product was born.
I see.
Because whilst giving out branded products, Victor, we found that people were, they were not hungry anymore. But there was no difference in their medical condition. If they had loss of weight, they still had loss of weight. They had bad skin, they had still bad skin. To any medical condition, nothing happened.
So they were not hungry anymore.
They were full.
But they were still showing the repercussions of malnutrition
in
one form or another.
And I said, I was feeling a bit bad because I'm the one who designed this program. And I'm thinking, I put all this stuff in and why nothing happened. Any case, I put it at the back of my head. 2004, February, write up by the UN and different write ups to say the biggest problem in Africa is lack of iron, iodine, folic acid, protein, and certain micronutrients. Still, back of my head. I visited Malawi, we have an office, in 2004, April. I went there for fertilizer and garden projects in agriculture development because I met somebody from Malawi in 2002 at my stand. So I went to the company thinking I'm going to learn about fertilizer and seed rollout, which they do in Malawi. The last day, second last day of my visit, he takes me to his factory and I get the smell of food. I said, "Oh, where's the fertilizer smell?" He said, "We don't only do fertilizer, we do food also. We were the first company that extruded soya for the World Food Program when Mozambican refugees came into Malawi for 7 years. We ran the program for 24 hours a day. I said, you never told me that about food? He said, yes. My spiritual teacher told me, my son, remember in life that whatever you do is done, is not done by you, it's done through you. You will be shown, you will be given direction, but everything will be done through you. You do nothing. So don't sit on an inflated ego and say, I did it, because you do nothing.
So that it is God who is in charge.
God. And this is a classical example, Victor. I got up on Friday morning, the 9th of April, Sorry, 16th of April, that morning before I left Malawi. And it came to me, my food parcel made no impact on the people. I'm here in this company that does food program. I need a formula. And in my head, a formula came in the morning. I'm not a dietitian. I didn't even go for nutrition lectures to medical school. Most of the time, I wasn't even there. My professor said you passed by correspondence.
I remember you had class behind me at medical school.
And this formula came. Malawi's got the best groundnuts, one of the best groundnuts in the world, the best aflatoxin. Let's take it. What's got soya? What's got protein and essential amino acids is soya. But soya don't have a good taste. Combine the groundnuts and soya together and put in a vanilla flavoring. And put in a pre-mix that has all these other micronutrients, copper, magnesium, selenium, antioxidants, put it together. And we started fidgeting with it. And eventually we came up with a product that works for twofold. It has no preservatives. And we said we'll make it ready to eat. You open the bottle and you eat. No cooking, no heating, no refrigeration. You just eat it. Perfect for disasters. When you come into a problem where there's water all over, like in Pakistan now. We're using it in Pakistan also. Where you can't throw a primer stove. You can't throw rice. You can't throw other kind of stuff. You have to put a whole lot of ingredients together. This thing is energy dense and nutrient dense, meaning that one spoon has more potency than a whole plate of food.
And you don't do it for profit.
No, this is for given out for free.
Absolutely. When you return, we continue our very, very interesting and untold story of Dr. Imtiaz Suleiman, chairperson of the Gift of the Givers. You stay with us. Welcome back. You're watching Bonnieton's House Call here on SABC 2. And today we're having a one-on-one discussion with Dr. Imtiaz Suleiman, chairperson of the Gift of the Givers. Now, you're still telling us about this brilliant product, smoothie. So what is it? It looks like peanut butter to me. What is it?
It's basically it's a paste.
Yeah?
Right.
It's a paste?
It's a paste.
So you put it on bread?
You put it on bread. You can, as I said, it's ready to eat.
Yeah.
The best way to eat it, the catch here is you've got to stir it well.
Yeah.
Because there's no preservatives, the oil settles at the top,
yeah,
from which your energy comes.
I see.
So you need to stir it well, but you can eat it. It tastes like an Indian sweet meat.
Okay.
Patients in hospital love it. Mm. You know, normal people love it. Sick people love it.
Okay.
It's got a very pleasant taste. It has a good smell, a lovely taste, and you know, it's very palatable. And it's very high in energy, as I said. Energy dense and nutrient dense.
You've got the patent on it.
Well, we haven't put a patent on it because we don't mind if other people do something similar, because we want people to benefit from the product.
Absolutely.
In any case, we started using it for disasters.
Mm.
In the process, we found it has magnificent results in cases where people are debilitated.
Mm.
So in TB, in HIV, in AIDS, mm, in cancers, in other conditions, it's not a cure. People must understand, mm, this is not a cure.
Yeah.
This is a supplement.
Mm.
It's a food item,
mm,
that works exceptionally well in many conditions. Many hospitals in South Africa are using it, you know. We've used it in Haiti, in Gaza, in Niger, where there was a severe famine, in Somalia, in Sudan, in Pakistan, in South Africa, Malawi, Lesotho, and Botswana. Not huge quantities, but people are seeing the value of it.
Speaking of which, charity begins at home. Do you spend most of your resources, most of your time on South African projects than you do on continental and international projects, or you just respond on demand? It's not necessarily that you are first a South African entity that might have to look at other countries if you've done justice to the South African needs.
Internationally, our projects are disaster response mainly.
Okay.
21 other projects take place in South Africa.
I see.
The spend is more than 70%, 70 to 75% in South Africa, and other 25%, depending if there is a disaster.
Okay.
There may be three disasters in 1 year,
mm,
like what happened in the Pakistan earthquake. The tsunami finished,
mm,
then came Niger famine, and then came the Pakistan earthquake. That can happen. But sometimes there may be no disaster. When I say no disaster, nothing major that needs to be responded to.
Okay.
There, again, we can talk about that if there's time. In which case,
you do some of your cold projects. You
no,
know,
but those projects in South Africa continue, mm, all the time.
I see. No,
we've got a counseling service, marital problems, abuse, you know, HIV, AIDS counseling, and face-to-face, that runs 24/7 the whole year. Then we have life skills programs in school. Our bursary and scholarship program started off in 97, 20,000 rand a year for the first year. It's now reached 3 million.
Mm.
And we partnered Natal University simply because of this for development in Africa,
mm,
where we said, let's support science and agriculture. Lots of young people say today, science and agriculture is for the farmers, it's for the Boer people, it's for the Afrikaners, it's not for all of South Africa. Africa is dependent on agriculture. The mainstay of economy in Africa is agriculture. We need to take the students and put them back there. So I went to the university, I said, I'll give you a grant for 1.3 million. Use the money to do marketing to the schools and tell the kids to come. They said in the first year, we may not get good students. I said, I understand that. A business doesn't make money in the first year. It takes 5 to 6 years before it makes money. So I said, get me any students. Just bring the students and bring them inside. You have the criteria, you choose them. They said, we got kids with 50%, 55%, and not so many. I said, it doesn't matter. I'll fund those kids all the way to qualification.
Mm.
I said, in the second year, we'll do a little better. In second year, kids with better symbols came. In the third year, they got kids with A grades, aggregates. And they said, now we're getting oversubscribed. And people started getting, you know, all distinctions in the course. And they're getting sought by different parts of industry. We need to support science and agriculture. Agriculture is very important for Africa. And what I like about Natal University in Maritzburg, it got like a mini NEPAD day.
Mm.
In those classes, there are students from all over Africa. In some departments, there are 39 PhD students. They're coming with the knowledge of what's happening in Rwanda, in DRC, in Kenya, and Uganda. Now, can you imagine if you take all the resource properly and you say, okay, in Uganda, this works, that doesn't work. In Kenya, this works, that doesn't work. And you take all that knowledge together and don't leave it in the library. Take it and implement it. Can you imagine what a powerhouse Africa will become? And that's something that I'm very
interested in. So rural development and poverty relief are some of those things that you concentrate on in South Africa. Does it help, or is it an advantage that you're a medical doctor running this organization?
It helps a hell of a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It helps a hell of a lot. Because, for example, the hospital that we designed, we were instrumental in designing the hospital. Without medical knowledge, you couldn't do that.
I see.
This supplement, it was inspired to me.